Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Just a little over 12 hours until the New England Patriots are on the clock, and you can talk about that all day long, right up until the draft begins. And Shime leading the charge on our NFL draft show this evening, Shime, right?
That is correct. Eight to midnight, it'll be me, Arcand, Mego, and Fitzy holding it down.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll find out if there's any excitement there, or if it's if we're going like full dud on this.
If Ken was in charge of a election night coverage, would he have 62 people on the set?
Curtis, I understand. I think your frustration with the New England Patriots because they didn't solve the tackle situation in the offseason. Yeah.
I'm not one of these Gresh people who, by the way, congrats, Jones and Keefe, doubled up Gresh's midday ratings this last period.
That
acts like I know, like, line play.
You're not a big pulling guard talk guy?
I couldn't tell you two things about Will Campbell's three-point stance, although I did win the three-point stance on WEEI Afternoons the other day. I think the Patriots failed miserably in their inability to settle the left tackle position prior to today, because if you have a left tackle, then you trade back, you get Jeddah. You have a million opportunities that you could benefit your roster, get more draft picks that you get the potential to hit on, and you don't have to use the fourth pick for need.
You don't have to be doing the exact thing that Elliot Wolf suggested you weren't going to be doing in this draft.
Exactly.
It's just, I don't understand their vision. They don't address the tackle position in the offseason. They don't really address the wide receiver position in the offseason. I know we like Steph Diggs, but, you know, who the hell knows when we're going to see him? He's coming off injury. I know he's a little bit older, so they address it a little bit. I still think Drake May needs more help, so they don't really give us that. And so going into the draft, now you're kind of in this area of, all right, you need offensive line help. You still need wide receiver help. I think you need how confident are you in the running back situation?
Are you confident with
Ramondre Stevenson, a guy that you couldn't hold on to the football?
Right, he had issues.
He's healthy, though, I think that he's good. And I think that a lot of people liked Gibson. I think that Gibson stepped up okay in the absence of Ramondre Stevenson. So maybe Gibson's that's not the top of their list.
Yeah, but Gibson's like a change of pace type of player, right? Your Gibson's not your main back. And Ramondre is your main back. But what's your feeling with him? Like, I don't think he's trending in the right direction. I think he's like...
He's dealt with injury.
He's only had a 1,000-yard season in his career.
And even when he is healthy, he's had fumbling issues. Yeah. So it's like you need help in that position.
If they had just addressed the offensive line in the offseason, as Curtis pointed out, they could go wide receiver or tight end and then running back in the second round, and then you are cooking with gas.
Yep.
Right.
All right. Well, you can talk about what the Patriots will and should and will not do all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEI, but we should get to the news.
A terrible story as a 49-year-old mother of four from Topsfield died while out on a hike with three of her children. She fell between 50 to 75 feet at Purgatory Chasm State Reservoir in Sutton yesterday. In front of her three children. Rescuers said it took a really long time to get to her because of the rocks. Where she fell, there were a lot of rocks.
And the kids were there?
Yeah.
Tragic.
We can hear from one hiker, Alexis Claudio, on WHDH.
There's a lot of rocks, definitely a lot of hills, but there's a whole bunch of signs up all the time, colors showing you where to go. It's absolutely insane, and I feel so sorry for everyone who's involved.
Jesus.
So terrible.
Awful.
Yeah. A small dog was rescued after being tied to the commuter rail tracks in Everett.
What?
Yeah, so the dog Coco, who Mitch has a photo of, was spotted in an isolated area behind the Encore Casino. Now, it's interesting the way that they describe it, because they say that the leash mm-hmm. looked to have been chewed off, but then he was still stuck at the tracks. So did he just get caught in the tracks after running away? Did someone deliberately tie him there? A man, Juan Santiago, says that Coco is his and okay. went missing. Mm. And he has been searching for her ever since. Police are trying to verify that. Here's Santiago on WCBB.
Someone did this on purpose, and I really want to find out who it was. I really do. Karma, I'm telling you, everything you give in life comes back to you. I'm hopeful, you know, just to get her back.
So he said somebody took his dog?
Well, he's not sure,
he's not sure.
Or a dog went missing. But yeah. I'm glad that Coco was saved.
Yes, agreed.
Any word on Pudge's pal from Friday, Curtis?
Not yet. I will check.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
We have an airline incident of the day.
And now, the latest plane incident.
No, but this guy doing the flying has no airline experience at all. He's a menace to himself and everything else in the air.
Of the day.
By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
On the Greg Hill Show.
A passenger on a United flight took to Reddit to ask a simple question. What do I do in this situation? Attached was a photo of some long hair of the passenger in front of them draped over the headrest over the TV screen.
Okay. I mean, that is it's kind of rude on the part of the owner of the hair.
Yes.
Very rude.
Responses ranged from scissors to call a flight attendant, have the flight attendant deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, can you just ask the person nicely, like, hey, do you mind your is hanging over my screen? And
that's what you should do first things first,
trying to watch a movie or watch the draft. I mean,
but shouldn't you, with somebody with long hair, like, shouldn't you be more aware? Like, you just don't throw your hair back. Shouldn't you, like, no, like, all right, I got long hair, so I'm gonna make sure it's on my side of the headrest.
Of course. The Reddit user followed up saying after 15 minutes, the passenger ended up moving their hair on their own without having to do anything.
How kind of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Day two of the Karen Reed trial was yesterday, and Carrie Roberts had her cross before more witnesses took the stand. Alan Jackson accused Roberts of lying in front of a grand jury about whether or not she ever heard Reed ask Jen McCabe to Google hypothermia, or if McCabe just searched that on her own. The story has changed. Okay. We can hear the courtroom audio of Alan Jackson bringing up the change and what that means.
And yet under oath you said you did.
Correct.
And that was a lie, correct?
Yes.
Was that a lie? Did you lie?
I did not intentionally.
So she's saying she misheard the question.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, it's a pivotal part of the case. So if somebody is Googling Hoss Long to die in the cold, and they're doing it at 2:27 a.m., that's concerning.
Yes.
If they're doing it at 6:23 in the morning because they are claiming that Karen Reed asked them to, then that is a whole different thing.
Correct.
But to say at one time that you heard Karen Reed ask it and then to later say yesterday that you didn't is a little bit concerning to me.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're testifying in front of a grand jury.
What kind of witnesses are these? They went from one trial.
Same ones.
From but one trial, they say one thing, and the other one, they're like completely different. Yeah. Jesus,
I would ask everybody this question. Understandable. Yesterday was a bad day for the prosecution.
Yeah.
Not a good day. I call balls and strikes. But I would say this, to me, shows there is no conspiracy. These people can't keep anything straight. If they murdered John O'Keefe in their house, as Alan Jackson would have you believe, we would know where, when, and why. So, like, you can't in one breath say everybody's colluding against Karen Reed and then say, look at how dumb they are.
Well, Carrie Roberts wasn't there that night.
No,
she was there the
I'm
next morning. But I think that the way in which the defense is leading is like that Jen McCabe told her everything to say. So that's why Carrie Roberts is not able to keep things straight because maybe, you know.
Yeah. I mean, why would she, Curtis, why would she be confused about that?
Because my guess is when you're in front of a grand jury 2 years ago, you're being asked things that you don't think are, I don't know how long the interview was with the grand jury, maybe an hour. I have no idea. I've never been in front of one. I don't know anything about it. But what Alan Jackson, because he's a brilliant attorney, focuses on is inconsistency. So over the course of the discussion, it may not seem as relevant as it does now in the crucible of the courtroom with these types of questions under oath in front of everybody at the second trial of the century. So there's a way in which they can extrapolate certain things you say to discredit your witness, which is exactly their job. But to send, like, it doesn't mean all these other things. We still don't know how and when John O'Keefe was killed. This has nothing to do with that. It's about Google searches the next day by Roberts and when she said it and who she said it to.
McCabe, Google searches. But one other thing from the trial yesterday, Peggy O'Keefe, John's mother, took the stand.
Yes.
She did not in the first trial.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was so classy of Alan Jackson when it came to cross to say, I'm very sorry for your loss. I have no questions for you.
Yeah.
Peggy was clearly upset on the stand. I feel so bad for this woman who's lost two of her children and has to deal with this circus constantly.
Yes. Right. Yes. And probably isn't going to get any answers when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We should take a break.
Okay.
We will get to the rest of the news coming up, including science weighing in on your marriage and what your spouse does facially that apparently indicates that it's going to be over soon.
Oof.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Kevin Gates LeBron thing.
I mean, you never beef-splained that to me.
Well, you never got into it, but facial thing is part of it.
What can you beef? So from time to time, I need Wiggy to help me when it comes to explaining beef. And
so Kevin Gates is... He's a rapper, and his famous song was, I got two phones, and then Stiz did the two rolls thing. So that was
two rolls, greatest single pandemic parody ever by the great Stiz Grimey.
Right, yes. And so he parodied Kevin Gates' song. Kevin Gates was on social media basically saying the way LeBron James' wife, Savannah, looks at him isn't right. She doesn't look at him with love. He should be with somebody like the white women who look at LeBron James with this look of awe.
Oh. I got two rolls.
First of all, I don't think you come at somebody's misses.
No.
Yes.
And can I just say, Stiz underrated, the man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, we love Stiz.
He's the best.
Go, sorry,
he's
carry
the
on.
Best.
So Kevin Gates and
so
LeBron.
So Kevin Gates says, LeBron should be with one of the white women who look at him, or his wife should be looking at him like what the white women do, where they're like, oh my God, it's LeBron.
Don't you think LeBron likes that his wife treats him semi-normal? And they've been together forever.
Right, they have been together forever. So then LeBron went to Instagram and was like, a king doesn't respond to peasants or something.
Okay, all right.
And put a picture up of him and his wife where she's looking at him like, you know, with this, you know, glow
lovingly.
Lovingly look. And so, which is weird because Kevin Gates, he now dates Brittany Reiner, who used to be, you know,
Reiner.
Yeah, or something like that. Used to be like, you know, she used to thought it up, and she had a kid with the basketball player who plays for the Dallas Mavericks. Now he played for Charlotte. So there was a lot of stuff going on.
But it seems, why is he randomly coming at LeBron, as we say, in the beef game?
Because he doesn't like the way Savannah doesn't have that glowing look like the white
women do. It's none of his business.
But why didn't he diss track it?
Because, no, here's why. Somebody asked him, would you want to trade places with LeBron?
Okay.
And so he was like, nah. And then that's when he got into, this is why I wouldn't want to trade. And then was at the Lakers game.
Courtside.
Oh, he was.
And people are kind of taking shots at LeBron like, yo, why didn't you have the same energy with Stephen A. Smith with Kevin Gates?
Yeah. All right. So I think that beef was explained.
Yeah. By
Wiggy. Was it?
Yeah.
Yes. Satisfactory?
I get it.
Yes.
Where's the beef?
Okay. Let's get to Courtney and to what is trending.
I smell like beef.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Celtics take game two against Orlando 109-100. No Jason Tatum, but Jaylen Brown took care of it. He led the guys with a double-double, 36 points and 10 rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis was behind him with 20. Porzingis went down after taking a hit to the head, resulting in a lot of blood. He took his free throws before heading to the locker room to get stitched up to later return. So the C's up 2-0 in the series as the series heads to Orlando. Game three is tomorrow at 7. The Red Sox drop one to the Mariners, 8-5, the final at Fenway. Tristan Casas hit his second homer in 2 days, and Sean Newcomb went 5 innings, giving up 4 runs on 8 hits while striking out 8. Here's Newcomb talking about his performance from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I got through the ball well. Obviously, like I said, that one walk there in the first was that really, you know, ticked me off, just kind of giving them a free base. And then that one slider to Crawford, I should be doing a lot better to lefties and just sticking some more pitches in there. So beat myself up about that a little bit, but felt pretty good otherwise.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. The Sox will try to take the series today. First pitch at 1:35 with Garrett Crochet taking the mound. You can listen to the game right here on EEI. Will Middlebrooks joining Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. And happy draft day. Pats pick 4, and the excitement kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern in Green Bay. Join Shime for a little draft party right here on EEI at 8 p.m. And the Subaru of New England Love Spring event is here. Spring into your next adventure in a 2025 Subaru. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
How's the 11:30 looking, Courtney?
I think I'm going to be golden, to be honest.
52 degrees and sunny, afternoon high of 71.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kristaps Porzingis, who had himself a game last night.
Oh, man, you gotta love that dude.
And a moment. And Wiggy, if Wagner is a pronunciation issue for you, there's no way that you have Bataze down. There's absolutely no way.
Who's Bataze? Is that
there we go.
Is that that group that was just singing?
No.
Oh, that's the other dude who came in. Yeah, I forgot about him. Yeah, I didn't know what that guy's name was.
We have honestly, we've reached the point in the NBA where a player attempting to embellish is committing fouls while attempting to embellish. That's the point that we've reached in the NBA, just to be clear.
I forgot about him. I was like, where'd they get this dude from?
Right.
I ain't seen him in the first game, and then all of a sudden they brought this Scribbins off the bench, and he cuts open Kristaps.
Listen, we talked about it a lot at the start of the show, first hour, but you're able to win the first playoff game that this iteration of team has been in without Jason Tatum. So
I don't play him tomorrow.
Bodes well. You said that was your lead this morning, is that you would not play Jason Tatum tomorrow night in Orlando. This is Kyle from Lowell. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
And it's awesome. It's awesome we won without Tatum, but I mean, I gotta say, I agree with Greg on a little bit on this. If Tatum isn't seriously hurt and it was just cautionary, he needs to be playing. I mean, the Celtics are in the middle of trying to solidify themselves in history as one of the greatest basketball teams of all time.
Yeah.
And the way KCP is playing and certain teams are going to play is try to rough us up, because they're starting to sniff that's the only way you can bring Tatum and Brown down. You have to play through it at this point in the season unless you are seriously, seriously hurt. It was not a good look last night to see him cheerleading on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems like, and this is probably, Curtis will point out, that it's probably ratings related, but they seem like they're letting them play a little bit when it comes to being physical.
Well, they always do in the playoffs, but don't you feel like that there's nothing Tatum can do to satiate fans?
Correct.
Like, he's on the sideline. If he's pouting and he's not cheering, it's, why is he puss-faced over there? Like, the guy, if it's the opposite, Kyle, I think. You're trying to do something to solidify the start of a dynasty.
Right.
You need Tatum healthy against teams that can beat you.
And I don't want him to further hurt himself. Like, I understand it's not a strain, so it wouldn't lead to something more like that. It's a bone bruise. But if you're feeling pain in a certain type of your body, the rest of your body is thrown off for it. I don't want to see Jason Tatum out there just to be out there when he's not feeling 100% and then him risk injuring something else because he's overcompensating.
Or he's just not shooting well, right? They might have said to him, you know, hey, how's it feel? And he's like, yeah, I could probably play through and push through it. And they might have said to him, like, JT, there's no need to. We'll beat this team without you. Let's get you to the point where you don't have to push through the pain, where the pain is not an issue at all, and it won't affect your shooting. It won't affect how you play because it is his shooting hand. And
well,
so,
yeah, I mean, if it, as the caller was suggesting that it's going to be overly physical this series, and they figured out that you need to be physical with the Celtics. Like, Jason Tatum is not the guy that you need to respond to that anyway.
No.
I mean, I felt like you got a lot of it from Al Horford last night. He had the with the people's elbow to Carter's face last night.
Right.
Like,
I want in Game 3. I want Tatum to sit in the crowd and root for the Magic. I think that would be a good move. I mean, honest to God, he's rooting for his team? If you have a bruise on your hand, you can still cheer.
Yeah. Like, I did love his outfit, too, to be honest.
Well, thank you.
That was nice. That, like, sweater, short-sleeve sweater. Nice.
Yeah, here's a 413 text. We're back to this topic, but it's a bone bruise, for God's sake. It's kind of pathetic that he sat last night.
So I don't understand the taping of the bone bruise. Like, I don't know what that did for him, but... I mean, a bone bruise is still painful. We've seen Jaylen Brown dealing with it all for the last couple
maybe,
of times.
It's like maybe to move it. You know, you want to keep it like...
It's like the neck brace in court.
You don't want to move it. I've heard my wrist...
They should move the game to Chappaquiddick.
For a bone bruise, though?
Yeah, but I've done that before. It's like you want to kind of like keep it straight.
Why?
The best way you can, because you don't want it... You want it to heal up. So he's probably doing a lot of icing, and he's probably doing some treatment
stuff.
Yeah, but
movement isn't going to make it, like, heal.
No, but it'll help with the pain, keeping it straight.
Rhode Island text on the Subaru of New England text line. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Would Kobe have sat last night?
I don't know. I mean,
that's his guy.
All right. I have no clue, but what if he plays and he goes out there and it's bothering him and he doesn't play well, what are they going to say? They're not going to be like, oh, Jason Tatum's a warrior. They're going to be like, oh, he stinks. Why would you even play him? Or he's horrible.
He's awful in the postseason.
Yeah, exactly. So what?
Text for you, Wiggy. Why do you continue to baby a professional athlete like Jason Tatum? It is a bone bruise. He didn't break his back.
Yeah, but I didn't want Jaylen Brown playing. If you can beat a team and your guy's hurt, I didn't want to play. The same way I didn't want Patrice Bergeron playing in a meaningless game at the end of the season because you could run into risk and we need you more in the playoffs than we do. So, like, Tatum, we need you more in round two, the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, playing in a meaningless series where you know your team is far superior and they can win without you, just to go out there and be like, oh, you can gut it out?
Side note on overemphasizing injury. Have you caught up on Celtic City yet?
No, I haven't caught up because I was watching The Last of Us.
I didn't realize that Paul Pierce, when he came out, and he had created the bandage around his face to talk to media, that pissed Doc Rivers off. I didn't realize until Paul Pierce talked about that.
Yes.
That Doc did not Doc wasn't down with that, Curtis.
I just want to go back to just sort of what the Kobe Bryant one. Kobe Bryant missed game three of the NBA Finals with an ankle injury. He came back in game four. He left game two early. So the fact that this was his first game missed in the playoffs,
right,
and it's this topic, is so maddening, and it's being fueled by the head coach.
And they brought it up yesterday. Like they brought up the last time.
Oh, so many times.
Jason Tatum didn't play. They brought up the starting lineup, and you were like, "Wow!" It was like
2017.
It was like Jay Crowder, Kelly Olynyk,
Marty Conlin.
It was just so. I think we were doing it with Jaylen Brown. Why wouldn't we do it with Jason Tatum? Why wouldn't we not say, okay, if you don't need him?
Yeah.
Why?
No, you didn't need him, and I'm guessing you're not going to need him in the series.
So then what's the why would you play him?
I think some people believe that he was pissed that Joe Mazzulla dared to scream get up, and that was the story after that game. So therefore, there are some people who think that he felt the need to sit last night as opposed to playing to prove a point with regard to the injury.
That's what
I hear.
You only hear it from crazy fans.
Yeah.
You don't hear that from any NBA analyst. Like, there's no other people. This is just like some crazy conspiracy that fans. At least Curtis, I'll give him credit on his conspiracy of the NBA, like maybe doing that. And you could say, like, okay, I could see other NBA analysts saying the same thing that Curtis is saying.
You see the text messages, right? It's not a made up thing.
Yeah, like, but it's from.
There's a 413 text that says he didn't sit last night because of a bone bruise. He sat because of an ego bruise.
But didn't Curtis say Arcan started it?
That is true. Arcan did start that.
So, these people are listening, and that you know, it spreads like wildfire. And if people don't like Jason Tatum, they're never going to like Jason Tatum. That's the bottom line.
But it's not like, it's not Charles Barkley saying it. It's not Stephen A. Smith saying it. It's not Kendrick Perkins, Shaquille O'Neal. It's like Johnny Smith in his mother's basement going, Jason. But that's what it is.
Leave Johnny out of this.
But Johnny Smith is the one who's saying it.
Johnny pays the salary, Wicks.
Johnny does.
Johnny's up there in the 300s.
Yeah, we're not talking about paying a salary, but we're talking about the whole Tatum sat out because he didn't like Joe Mazzulla yelling at him, getting up. That's not Tatum's personality to be like the kid who's like, oh, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Okay, Joe. So what does that do for Tatum? You don't think Joe's going to go, hey, guess what, Jason? Hey, you didn't hurt us because we won without you.
Yeah.
Wiggy, text for you from New Hampshire. Two road shows in New Hampshire this road show season.
Yeah.
We'll be at Bernie's.
And then at the...
And then at the Dive.
The Winnipesaukee.
Jeez.
Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yeah, you got it the second time. Lake Winnipesaukee on July 3rd at the Dive is setting itself up to be an absolute bonanza of an event.
It's going to be a banger.
I keep hearing from people who are they're planning to get the boat over there at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So they have a spot right there at the Dive.
Night before, too, I hear a lot of people talking about
the Nassau.
Yeah.
That place is great. All right. Anyway, where was I? 603 text.
I know what Wiggy's going to say that night. Hey, all right. Good to see you. Okay. Wiggy's arrivals are perfect. He finds his way to a nice spot and gets the good food.
Oh, here it is. Problem is, Wiggy, now every team is going to do this even more to him. And are we just going to sit him every time he falls?
No. I mean, he's fell before. And he just landed on it wrong, clearly.
It's unbelievable people saying we're going to sit him every time he falls. 2017 was the last time that we didn't see him in the postseason for a game.
Yeah.
That's why I said it's Johnny Smith in his basement who's pushing the narrative. And if there were other NBA analysts who felt that way.
413 text, not in the basement, working my butt off listening to you.
All right, so working at the cubicle, wherever you're working, who's coming up with saying, oh, this is why. Why aren't they saying that about Jimmy Butler? He fell. Why isn't he gonna? Why didn't he go back in the game?
He
what?
He lost a hip.
No, he landed on his butt.
I mean, He's got hip displacement or something.
He
like
landed
that.
On his butt. Why? It's aggravating.
Can we play the Missoula again? Because I think we only played it once where talking about Porzingis.
Talking about Porzingis. That to you, Curtis, says that there's ongoing beef.
That was like the Capitol Grill spicy margarita.
Okay, go ahead.
Joe, it's the second time in like 2 or 3 weeks he's been cut and needed stitches. I mean, you're an USC guy. Like, you got to admire just kind of him just going back and getting stitched and coming back out. I mean, that's something that's got to kind of, you know, touch you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I like his overall just approach. I think he has an innate ability to take things very serious and at the same time, you know, have great perspective. And you know, you see how I think he can control his environment really well with how he handles the crowd and how he handles the physicality of it. And he can maintain his kind of his poise. And he just has a great way about him. And I think that helps us. And like, I do. I love watching him. I like watching him bleed on the court. I think it's important. And then he comes back in and does his job. So I do like that about him.
He might as well just said he's a guy I don't have to yell get up to in order for him to get up. Like, he might as well just said that.
My ears are built differently than that because I didn't get any of that, what you're hearing, like Missoula's giving all the praise to Porzingis, but basically doing it because he's hoping Tatum hears it and to say, like, how soft Tatum is.
Well, no, I mean, in the Twitch chat, a suggestion that's full mouth hug. Like, he's going out of his way to mouth hug Porzingis.
Well, he brought up the other time that it happened in a couple weeks before. He just says he has a great energy.
It's just interesting timing when a big narrative is the fact that he was yelling at Tatum to get up.
I love watching him bleed on the court and get back in there.
Yeah, my ears are built differently.
This is John from Gardner. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, good folks. Hey, Wiggy, this is Johnny in the kitchen, okay? Generally speaking, if you look at we'll pick on the NBA instead of all the other, but generally speaking, it used to be kind of a pride thing. I'm a man. I'm going to play through it. I'm going to get up when I get knocked down. I'm not going to act like, you know, when I get a fingernail scratched across my cheek, I'm not going to go down like I was shot. A guy hurts his wrist and he's writhing on the ground. You know, maybe he could stand up and writhe standing up. The point is, it used to be a point of pride to play 82 games. Now it's status to get games off. That's a status thing. And these guys in the NBA writhing on the floor all the time. I mean, come on. How many of us have played in rec leagues or open gyms and banged our ankle up, turned our ankle and, you know, shake it off, finish the game, and go to work the next day?
Yeah, but there's a difference, John. You in the rec league, you get, what, 6 inches off the ground, where Tatum's literally 6 feet.
Not in my 20s, Wiggy.
No, even in your 20s. All right, I give you 8 inches. But the thing I would look at, and this is what I would say, John, is when you look at Tatum, he don't miss a lot of games during the regular season. He's not one of those guys that is into the load management. He plays the majority of the games. He doesn't play all 82. But I'd have to go back and...
He played 72 this year.
All right, he played 72 games this year.
No, but he's pretty consistent when it comes to
that. Yeah, and he hasn't missed a lot of games. And the whole the soft narrative thing... I think it's just we generally do that because we grew up on a different type of basketball, the same way fans back in the day did it with us.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I hate to keep going back to it, but you watch Celtic City and Kevin McHale basically tells you that his career ended early because he wanted to win the title, so he played through a busted foot.
Right.
My childhood was watching Larry Bird lie on the sideline with back spasms.
Yeah, he couldn't even, speaking of standing up, he couldn't sit on the bench.
Okay, and this Celtics team would beat the doors off that Celtics team.
Okay, how dare you?
Far more talented than the NBA. Players today are so much faster.
I loved how you set that up, too, because Greg thought you were going to be on his side, and then you just switched it.
Are you referring to the greatest NBA team ever assembled, the 1986 Boston Celtics?
This team would beat that team in 6 games or less.
Ooh. My Lord.
Without a doubt.
How dare.
Kevin McHale resembles my mailman and not Karl Malone.
It would definitely be interesting. I'm going to lean towards the 86 team. I would lean towards that.
Like the first time the Kevin McHale or Chief boxed somebody out into the seats that are now there that weren't there, the front row, this team would
But when are we playing?
As soon as Derek White sticks three threes in their eyes, they're going to be like, who is this guy?
I mean, it's not even close
to talent. When are we playing this game? See, there's a difference. If we're playing in 86, Greg.
Oh, you thought you meant early in the afternoon because that's when Greg would watch
it. If you're playing in 86, you can get away with it. But if you're playing in 2025, Kevin McHale's going to be sitting on the bench with four fouls in the first quarter. So it's you know, it's a
right, because he was clotheslining somebody.
Yeah, you can't do that in today's NBA. I'm sorry to tell you.
But if it was physical, the guys on this team would beat the bag out of those guys. Look at how small they are. Look at the actual size and measurables of the Celtics versus the Celtics in the 80s.
Pretty, I mean, they're pretty.
The Celtics in the 80s look like they're at a Deadhead show.
Well, I mean, the Chief was 7 feet tall. McHale was there.
They actually were at Deadhead shows.
Right. Well, I did this game on Shroom.
McHale was almost 7 feet tall.
Wait, now you're coming at the great Bill Walton.
No, God rest his soul, but, you know.
Bird was 6'8".
Curtis, I got to tell you, until you've been to a dad show, you haven't been to a concert.
Cherry Garcia.
It might be, I think it would be more about the bench, though, right? Because you'd have Pete Pritch coming off the bench versus who was coming off the bench in the 80s.
That's a shot at Jerry Seasting.
Yeah, so it'd be like Pete Pritch, Al Horford.
Greg Kite?
Yeah, Greg Kite.
I mean, come on. What's wrong with you?
I would still lean. I always lean Bird anyways, but
all right, anyway.
Curtis, who knows? They might win, though.
Know that they would beat them. Look at the way the athleticism is shifted in the NBA. It's not even close.
Yeah, but the skill was better back then.
Oh, you mean like the George Mikan drill?
Below the rim? Like, you know, I think as far as the post play, but it wouldn't, I guess, the post play, if you're playing 2025 rules, the Celtics would be hawking up a bunch of threes.
Larry would spend 1 minute trash talking half of these guys, and they'd go into the fetal position.
Right. And then Porzingis would dunk on his head.
Drew Holiday would lock up Larry Bird.
I don't know about that one.
We never got back to the news. Can we at least get to the issue when it comes to what your spouse is doing facially that means you're going to get divorced? Can we get to that next?
Yes.
Okay, we will. Next. Red Sox front office report with Sam Kennedy this week coming up in about 10 minutes at 9. And then Hill Notes at 9:20. So still plenty of time to leave a voice note on anything that we have been talking about this morning or any other topic. Just leave that voice note and we'll play them. Do it on the Odyssey app. That's where you leave it. And we'll play them back coming up at 9:20.
And it hurts my heart because it is my era. It hurts me.
At 2. Wiggay? He has no idea what that is.
What's that?
It's all right.
Too brute.
It's all right. It's okay.
Oh, was that pig Latin?
No.
No, that's just
but
Latin.
It's actual Latin.
It hurts my heart that I have to agree with Curtis.
Oh, my man.
If we're playing today's NBA standard, I would probably take this team to beat the 86 Celtics. Because
and Curtis are nuts.
What's McHale going to do? The low post game is gone. He's not going to really be a major factor. The only guy really coming off the bench for that 86 team was Gerald Henderson.
Wait, whoa. The low post game is gone because nobody wants to play it.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you can't post him up and score all day long on this current Celtics team.
You could score all day long, but like Curtis said, when the opponent's coming down hawking up 53s.
Okay, last shot to win it. Who do you want, Tatum or Bird?
Oh, give me Bird.
Okay, thank you.
But I don't know if it's going to be close.
Thank you.
It won't be.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be close. I mean, Porzingis is going to stretch the court. Parrish is going to be like a fish out of water having to play him outside the three-point line.
I mean, this
argument hurts my heart, though. I agree with Curtis.
I mean, the Celtics' sixth man was driving cabs in 86. Like, it's a different world now.
Yeah.
Everybody is more talented.
Yeah, because Danny was, that 86 team, Danny wasn't really even a factor.
No.
It was Gerald Henderson who was coming off the bench. So, I would, he was a good player, but Pete Pritch.
It's generational. It's like arguing that, YouTube is better than when we only had three channels. Like, I prefer, the three-channel days.
You like to go outside. You were one of those.
Also, complete technology disaster the other night when I was trying to watch The Last of Us.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And I put on HBO Max, and all of a sudden, in the bottom right, 4D... there's a dude like with a beard full 4D doing the sign language.
Oh, damn.
I couldn't get him off. Wow. I don't know how, like, I got...
That's innovative. That's innovative.
I've never even known that.
I don't know how I got on that, particular broadcast, and then I could not get the guy off. Huh. So the whole time I'm trying to watch this most dramatic and spoiler-filled episode, I've got this guy doing the sign language thing in the bottom, but he's projecting out.
Yeah,
4D-wise.
Right.
You must have a setting on that, like, you're hearing impaired. Or
probably. Well, I mean, yeah. I guess I am getting
But explain that to me, though. Wouldn't hearing impaired just use captions and subtitles?
No. It's an actual guy.
Right. No, well, I know.
You could do that, yeah.
Good-looking
fella.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Wouldn't it be easier for them to just follow along by reading? I didn't even know that was an element to the TV.
All right. Anyway, because I teased it. Science is weighing in on an unfortunate facial expression.
Yeah.
Which your spouse may be making, which ensures to a 94%
chance
of accuracy that you're going to eventually get divorced.
Correct. Yeah. Dr. John Gottman, who's a marriage psychologist, found that the four nasty little habits, criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling, are deemed, quote, the four horsemen of the apocalypse when it comes to your marriage.
Yeah.
They all can be told by a one-sided smirk.
One-sided smirk. What does that mean? Like the mouth is smirking in just one...
On one side.
Mm. What does that mean?
Oh, like the mouth goes up.
Up on one side. Mm.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh.
So like you're telling your significant other about your day. They're like...
Right. Mm. They're like, hmm.
Yeah.
Getting dressed up like you never get dressed up for a bachelorette party in Florida. Hmm.
I always get dressed up.
I don't believe... I had people who were watching the show on Twitch this morning... who are married, who were alarmed with the way you are presenting yourself while heading away from your husband.
If you saw my outfit right now.
They've never seen you look like this.
I'm in linen oversized pants and an oversized linen top.
I mean,
my hair is done.
But you're dressing up for the ladies, would be the assumption.
But I always dress for the women. Okay. I've always said that. I don't dress for men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wiggy will tell you.
You're more put together than ever. I mean, you're always put together on this show.
Yeah, but I'm usually in like my workout stuff. I'm going right to the airport. So
if the face, the mouth goes up in a smirk.
One-sided.
One-sided smirk.
Yeah.
Not full smirk.
Nope.
One-sided smirk, it means that you are headed, unfortunately, for divorce.
Yeah. 94% chance.
All right. Be aware of that. Hello, Rich.
Yep.
What's up?
Oh, I was calling to tell Wiggy that Gerald Henderson was not on the 86 Celtics. He played on the 84 team.
Okay.
He made a huge steal against the Lakers.
Yeah.
That was my comment.
Okay.
Jerry Seasting.
Seasting.
Quinn Bucknuck.
Like, that's any better.
That 86 Celtics team would take this team apart.
All right, let me
see the 80. A much better basketball team.
Curtis,
let's see the 86 roster.
They would take them apart, Curtis.
All right, so Bird, DJ McHale, Ainge Parrish. That's your starting five.
Bird, Dennis Johnson.
Yep.
McHale.
On five, and coming off the bench that year, was really, Jerry Seasting, but he didn't really play much. He only played 14 minutes a game, so that's like nothing. So they didn't really dive into their bench that much. So it'd be that starting five versus Porzingis, Tatum, Brown, Holiday, White, Horford, and Pritchard. Yeah, and Curtis, because Curtis said
you just went six. Well, you're saying Pritchard off the bench.
Yeah, because the Celtics play Pritchard and Horford a lot more than
Jerry Seasting.
Seasting
played. All
right,
let's get to... we got to take a break.
Oh. All right, we were just cooking.
He's delving into it. Hey, he's getting deep in the weeds.
Right.
We'll be right back.